We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Merloni and Fourier.
Trust me. No, we're good. Yeah, okay, yeah. Watch this.
I'm going to give him a time out. Okay.
No, be patient. It's going to work. What? No, now watch this. Oh, crap. Screw it.
Your season is over, Patriots fans, and we still have a lot of wreckage to sort through.
That game Saturday,
I don't know where to put that game as far as...
Epic fail.
It's easily...
Epic fail?
Yeah.
What happened to the 2-4 mentality?
Basically, it's not listening to the outside noise.
What to make of Coach Belichick versus General Manager Belichick?
Have you heard this debate before, like the Bill, the GM is killing Bill, the coach? I would say this year it's the other way around.
And what exactly happened during the bye week?
How do things take a turn?
It's Lou.
4th-and-1, 4th-and-8. You're getting your boobs ripped off.
It's Christian.
It's not the question, you knob. Of course I was entertained. Is that the goal? Then go watch a movie.
It's Merloni and Fourier on WEEI.
Our 4th and final hour here, Merloni and Fourier. Still talking about this beatdown the Patriots took Saturday night up in Buffalo. And I guess the problem I have is when you see something that is so just unexpected. You know, and I go back to say, like, even just, that's unexplainable. Like, Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl. Like, you know, theories start coming out. You start hearing about, oh, I heard he got into a fight with the coach. Oh, I heard he's messing around with the wrong lady.
Yeah, I heard you were late and missed curfew.
I heard he was out all night at his bar. I got a friend of mine that said, you know, hear all these things because it's so, you didn't see it coming. You can't really explain it. You don't know what the explanation was.
Because it couldn't really. There's got to be an explanation because nobody ever loses this bad. Especially a Patriots team.
So that's the thing. Like what happened on Saturday night, you know, the going up there and losing that game. I don't think anyone's shocked that they lost. It's how it happened. It's how embarrassing it was. They quit during this football game. And so you just sort of sit there and just say, okay, I mean, something had to happen. Like, it was cold. Remember the whole Josh Allen thing in the cold? Like
he can't play well. It's too cold.
No, he's not going to play as well as he did in Gillette. You said that's one of the best games of his career. Yeah. Well, what was this one then on Friday, Saturday night?
Better than the best game of his career.
So you start just coming up with, like, did they just quit during the week?
You're looking for an explanation that
they weren't that good? We kept saying, at the end of the year, the last four losses, that's kind of who they are because you started the year that way. You ended the year that way. Did they start saying, yeah, you know what, we're not that good? And they just walked into that game and just not even ready to play.
I think there is a lot of soul searching going on, and I guess like made up excuses. That's what I feel like I'm hearing now are excuses that are just cop outs, that are just bull crap. They're not real. Like these reasons that players are giving, Adrian Phillips is giving, Ryan Hannibal are giving, all these other guys are giving, they're all fake. I don't believe because I feel like nobody wants to just admit that it was a flat-out beatdown and there was nothing you can do about it.
All right, I want to get you on here, Adrian Phillips, then. Because this is what Adrian Phillips yesterday, when he's talking to the media, talked about this football game, maybe what happened.
I think physically we were there. I think mentally we just weren't in the right space to go out there and make those plays. I think Buffalo was, and that's why – they got us, at least their offense. I can't speak for the other side of the ball, but their offense was there mentally and physically. And for us, we just dropped the ball on that part. And I think that's what the difference was. But kudos to them. They showed up, and obviously we didn't.
Why is a defensive leader on this football team saying they weren't mentally ready for a playoff game against a division rival?
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that's a cop-out. He's saying he's physically they were there, but mentally they just weren't. To me, this is an example of a guy that doesn't want to admit that he was physically beaten. That the Bills and Dawson Knox and their backs and Josh Allen, like, physically had their way with them. Like, pants them, made them look stupid. Like, almost like took their manhood away from them, because that's what happens when you get physically beaten. So I think the more comfortable stance for him and others is to say, you know, we weren't mentally ready. I feel like they can handle not being mentally ready as opposed to being criticized for being for basically turning it down.
No, I understand, but it wasn't like the question, you know, was, okay, Adrian, you have to pick one of two options. You were either physically beaten down and another man physically beat you, or you were mentally beaten. You know what I mean? It wasn't like an he offered it.
You know, makes him look worse, Lou.
I think it makes him look really bad to say that mentally these guys weren't ready to play a playoff game.
Yeah, so physically we took care of our body the entire week. We rested, we recovered, okay, but we didn't watch film because that would mean you weren't mentally ready. So when the game started, what, you stayed up late and were screwing around? So what, you got intimidated by the cold? Were the fans too loud for you? Were they yelling at you? Give me a freaking break. That's one of the most embarrassing quotes I think I've heard.
No, I'm with you. And I think that's what I mean. I actually think it explains it. You know, that they look like a team that wasn't mentally ready to play that football game. I mean, physically you're on the field, but you know what it takes. Kind of, it takes both. And they look like a team that mentally wasn't ready to play. They look like a team that just quit. You know, when it's, you know, it's cold outside. It's a lot warmer when you're up 20-0.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Isn't it funny how when you lose, how much colder you feel?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I can't feel my toes.
You're getting smoked.
Somebody give me some Viagra.
You're on the sideline like, oh, this is freezing. This is so cold. We're getting smoked right now, right? But when you're winning, you know, it ain't that cold.
No.
I'm over here drinking my chicken broth.
Yeah.
You know, on the sideline.
Oh, that's what it is.
Warming
you know
up the body.
They had chicken broth, and we didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't have. Just had water.
Again, it goes back to, so why weren't you mentally ready? I mean, you're not buying it at all. I want you to hear Ryan Hannibal. Because Ryan Hannibal, he was on Sunday morning with Andy Hart and Fitzy, and he had this to say about this football team.
I did kind of notice throughout the week just kind of a, not lack of confidence, but almost like the team was kind of didn't believe in themselves. In pregame warm-ups last night, it stood out to me that the Bills were dancing around and kind of embracing the frigid temperatures, whereas the Patriots were just kind of going through the motions. It almost looked like they just wanted to get back inside. Whatever happened during that bye week, I think, you know, the Patriots kind of just realized that they are what they are. And I think they realized that they, you know, weren't necessarily a team that could win a playoff game. And I think that carried over throughout the week and then before the game last night.
He's worse than Adrian Phillips. I think that's really, listen, nobody works harder than Ryan Hannibal. Okay, the guy's a badass. Like, we're constantly, you know.
You think he's giving him an out?
I think he's giving him an out. Listen to this.
How's that giving
him
an out?
Listen
though?
To his excuse.
He's mentally
listen
soft.
To Ryan, listen to his reasoning. I didn't think they showed confidence. How the hell do you know? How do you judge whether I'm confident or not? Am I walking around with my head down?
Well,
am I pouting?
In pregame, when you see a Buffalo Bills running
the Bills
around,
were
hyping each other up?
Around and kind of embracing the frigid temperatures.
Okay, I mean, again, no, that's not true. Okay, so how do you judge that? Well, and you're comparing it to what cold game of the past? The last time they played there when it was cold and windy, I saw David Andrews out there in a t-shirt and shorts. Okay, that ain't it. Like, stop giving them excuses. Stop saying that they didn't want to be there. They just made it to the playoffs. Like, so they played like crap in the last three of the last four games. I remember other seasons where they played like crap at the end of the year, and they still won the Super Bowl. So let's not make excuses for them. Let's just call it what it is, that they were better. Did they want it more than you? Maybe they had a little bit more energy because they were at home. But physically, they took it to you.
All right, so you don't believe this.
I will say, when did they give up? When did they not want to be there? Probably at the end of probably in the middle of the second quarter.
I'd say 20-0.
Yeah, sure, right around there.
20-0.
We can't beat them.
So you're calling BS on this.
Yes.
Thing. Okay, you don't believe what Adrian Phillips is out there trying to sell right now. Neither is Ty Law. Ty Law was on the Greg Hill Show this morning with Chris Curtis, actually hosting as well. Greg is still somewhere. We don't know. We'll figure it out. Maybe he can get back soon. This was his reaction to what Adrian Phillips had to say.
I call bull. How you not mentally ready to go? You know what the stakes are. You've been playing football your whole life. You can't say, I don't buy that at all. You got to mentally prepare yourself. If you can't do it yourself, one of your teammates should have tapped you on the shoulder to get you right. So not mentally prepared to play. I think, you know, that's a personal issue. That shouldn't be a team issue.
He's speaking the truth. Hold on. Are you?
No, I actually think that this team during the week or whatever, we can get back to the bye week or whatever it was, But maybe after that Miami game, we talk about how important that Miami game was to kind of validate what you did in Jacksonville. They came out and played like they did against Buffalo, like they did against Indy, like they did earlier in the year. And I think that team came out of that Miami game and just said, we're not that good. And we're going to go up to Buffalo and get our ass whooped. That's what I think. I think they lost. I think it was a fragile team. I don't think it was the toughest mental team you've ever seen here. I mean, they're bullies. They beat up on really bad football teams. It's why at the end of the year, when you look up there and you see that the sixth best offense in scoring and the second best defensive scoring team in the league. No, they're not. They're a plus 184 against 7-0 against horrible football teams. And those teams are going to be picking the top eight in the draft. They beat up on teams better than anybody, bad teams better than anybody in the league. You know, they did it better than Buffalo. Buffalo, you know, had tough times with some bad football teams. They did it better than Tennessee and better than Kansas City. They all these numbers at the end of the year they put up offensively and defensively had a lot to do with them just bullying bad football teams. But when it came down to playing a good football team, close and late, they just lost it. They kept making stupid mistakes left and right. And I think that, yeah, they wanted to this game, and I think they were out of it. It sure as hell looked like it because they didn't show up. That team quit on a football field up in Buffalo. And there's some bad losses all weekend long. We talk about the wild card weekend and how some embarrassing football games. But no team quit like the New England Patriots did.
Well, I would say that what happens in these situations is you don't go into it thinking that you're going to lose or thinking that you're going to be intimidated or bullied. You think you're going to win. But what happens is when the game starts, you go, holy crap. Like, this is, whoa, we can't keep up with them. Like, hey, we don't have any depth in our secondary. So what they do is the old school Indiana Jones Temple of Doom. They put their hand inside your chest. They rip out your heart. It's still beating. They take a big bite of it and they throw it away. Like, and you give up. Your will to win is just, it's erased.
I understand that, Christian. But, you know, they had that will and they were down 20-0 to Indianapolis. And they made it a one-score game. You know, when they were down whatever it was, 20-7 against Buffalo.
Buffalo's better than them.
20-7 against Buffalo Gillette.
Buffalo's
and you're looking for
them.
A stop defensively late to, you know, because it was a one-score game against Miami when you were trailing whatever that was early on.
Do you ever...
You fought back, made it a one... All year long in all these games where they lost their minds and made uncharacteristic mistakes in the first halves, they all fought back and made them all one-score games. Buffalo.
I'm sure you've had games where your intentions were great, you did everything right, you got on the field, it's like, man, ain't nothing going right. I'm trying, but I took the wrong steps. You know, this guy, you know, knew what we were calling. He had the advantage. You know, the play was harder than it should have been. Like, you know, Mac threw it in the dirt. He got pressured. I mean, like, I would say there's tons of I think they woke up with intentions to obviously win the game. But when the game started, it was obvious to everyone that they were overmatched. Because Bill made a point. Like, we couldn't keep up with them tonight. I would say... I think we need to kind of do the defense. We keep saying they're old and slow. I would say, like, the personnel that they had out there would make any quarterback salivate. If you saw the secondary that was out there, you would say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, whatever. Hey, Diggs, here comes J.C. Jackson. Okay, fine, I won't throw you the ball. I got five other options. Kyle Duggar can't cover Dawson Knox. Adrian Phillips can't cover Dawson Knox. Nobody can cover Isaiah McKenzie. No one can cover any of their guys. Like, tell me who's covering. Like, it got so bad that you had Juwan Williams out there, and you had Miles Bryant out there. And they kept shifting guys in and out because one thing wasn't working. They put the practice squad guys out there. I mean, it was, I don't even know who number 13 is. Bugby or whatever his name is. I can't remember what his name was.
Devontae Busby.
Come on, Lou. Are you kidding me? That would make a college team, you know, get, you know, excited if I could do that. It would make it move.
I understand. All right. So do you buy what Adrian Phillips said? That physically they were there, but mentally they weren't? Are you listening to Christian say it's all excuse and they just didn't want to admit it? That they physically, they just got outmanned in that game. 617-779-7937. We'll discuss that. It's also trying to debate what happened during that bye week. 9G's himself, Jacoby Myers, he spoke about it. You'll hear it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We continue to investigate exactly what happened to these 2021 Patriots. And it's amazing because the last couple of days we've gotten, like, whether it's, you know, Twitch or text or calls who sat there and say, oh, this Buffalo's just a better team. You know, it's not a surprise. They just got this. They just got that. And it's weird because I never got any of those calls going into the game. You know, we started talking about this game. Never got any of the calls. It was just due to the Patriots, due to Belichick. I mean, please, Josh Allen ain't going to have a good game. Like, you know, I never got any of the calls that the Buffalo was that much better than you. But it seems like now this is kind of like the default setting. I don't know if it makes you feel better or not, but like something happened with this football team, in my opinion. Like, they played great.
We'll get to the bottom of it. I guarantee you.
And they got embarrassed here this weekend. So what was it?
We got Rodney tomorrow, right? Can I confirm that?
We do have Rodney.
We do. Okay.
4:30.
Okay, it's a moving number, right? Okay.
Yeah, write in pencil, not pen.
Okay, let's go. Let's go
find out if anybody else knows.
Let's go to check out Shane, Atlantic City, AC. What's up, Shane?
Yeah, hey, Leroy, you think it all went bad when Belichick started being nice to the reporters? It seemed like the whole team packed it in and said, bad coaching.
When was that? Oh, the apology.
If his wife getting to him or something, he needs to go on a big divorce kick. He needs to get on that Bezos tip and really bring it back to these guys, you know?
Yeah.
Mac still got a lot to prove, you know? He's had everything handed to him in college and now in the pros. He showed a lot this year, but he's still got to prove to be a winner.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
No doubt. Fellas, I apologize if, you know, I seemed like I was a little short with you after the game.
I mean, that's when it happened, too.
When was that?
That was the 20th, so that was...
After Indy.
That was after the Colts game, yeah.
So they lost 3 of 4 since that comment.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I think he's onto something.
Kind of lost his balls.
Guys, we need to be nicer.
Yeah, maybe that was it. I don't know.
They kind of lost their mojo.
I want to go to Andy real quick in New Hampshire, talking about a comment from J.C. Jackson. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
What's
I said, like, I thought... Honestly, the secondary is a question as it is, but like J.C. Jackson lost a hell of a lot of money, and frankly, I don't think he's worth it at all. I mean, half of his interceptions were off the tips, and I agree, the guy's got great hands, but like.
You're breaking up, Andy. Call back, because I'm trying to think of J.C. Jackson is not worth it.
I think J.C. Jackson's a really good corner, and I think he proved me wrong. Because I was saying before the year, if I'm J.C. Jackson, I need Steph Gilmore to sign so I can play the number two corner in the hopes to convince someone that I'm actually a number one corner. Well, I was wrong. I think he's a number one corner. I think he's a better year than Trayvon Diggs. You know, Trayvon Diggs is a Pro Bowl cornerback. Why? Because he had a lot of interceptions.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sure did, but he also gave up more yards than any cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah, but he made up with it for getting interceptions.
But I understand that, but interceptions is one thing, but... When you give up more yards than any other corner, or right up there, doesn't that say that you're not that good? Shouldn't it kind of?
Yeah, I'd
rather have a guy like Revis was a classic guy that didn't have a lot of interceptions because they just didn't throw it to him. And he just would shut down guys. I think J.C. Jackson's a good corner.
Yeah, so do I.
Jake in Vermont. Jake, what's up, man? Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing tonight?
What's up, Jake?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, thanks. So I was just listening to what you guys were saying about Adrian Phillips' comments. And, yeah, part of it I think is kind of a cop-out. But at the same time, I agree with what he was saying, that they were physically there. Physically, they were there. You can't dispute that. But mentally, they just could not match what the Bills were throwing at them. The Bills have had 20 years of this pent-up rage and aggression against the pass, and they were finally able to kind of unleash it. And, we saw what happened with that.
Okay, but I would argue that a lot of them had like 4 years of built up
stuff.
They beat them twice last year. I get it. I mean, that's why we're still trying to figure it out. Physically, they were there. I mean, physically, yes. They were actually on the field physically.
I just can't imagine revenge was not on your mind. I mean, it's the best of three, and you got embarrassed. and revenge is not on your mind. Like you don't have this strong desire to prove the last game was an anomaly, was an outlier. Like I refuse to believe that like they weren't ready. Like they just wanted the offseason to start. Well, it's your will to fight is taken away from you when you constantly get your ass knocked down.
Yeah, and I think the anomaly was the first game up in Buffalo, as we tried to say afterwards. You know, because when you see the way they've defended Josh Allen recently, the last couple of years, the only game they actually defended him well wasn't because of a scheme, wasn't because of a player, wasn't because of anything, a pass rush, nothing. It was everything to do with the wind.
Well, but I would also say
Mother
like,
Nature,
they
65 mile an hour winds.
They didn't play great, you know, and maybe it's part of their coaching problem. But other than that, they decided to change their overall mentality after that game as far as running.
The Bills.
Bills. Like, they decided they needed to make wholesale changes. They go on the road again. They lose to Tampa after a strong comeback, but they lose. Okay, then they play you again, and then they beat you.
Listen, I remember that Tampa game the following week, and after losing to New England, they got to go to Tampa and now play Tom Brady. And at halftime, he said, they're broken. At halftime, you probably sat there, you watched that game. They might not make the playoffs.
They came back, though.
And then they came out in the second half, and they forced overtime. And you were like, huh. I remember being more impressed with them losing to Tampa.
Yeah.
Saying, you know what, maybe they are for real. And they haven't lost since. And they started giving the ball to Singletary 18, 20 times a game. You know, Josh Allen started going from 4 or 5 runs a game to 10 or 12. They started running the football, and they look pretty tough since. So they changed who they were, kind of like you did in 2018. All right, let's go to Thomas, who's out in Western Mass. Thomas, what's up, man?
Yeah, so I just want to make a quick comment just to kind of follow up on what you've talked about just a minute ago. But I don't understand. At December 6th, the Pats beat them, and they only threw 3 passes. And that entire game, I felt like the Pats kind of embarrassed the Bills because the offensive line manhandled the Bills. The Pats ran the ball the entire game, threw 3 passes. And our defense just put a stop on Allen. Now, you said, of course, there was the wind, but still, our defense stopped them.
Because of the
wind. What happened over the course of a month that I think the Bills felt like they were embarrassed. It was cold back on December 6th, so there was not much difference in the weather. They just came into this game and they said, you know, we're not going to let them run all over us. Our defensive line's going to shore up. I think also when the Bills scored a couple of touchdowns, you know, right out of the gate, and it, you know, is like, you know, 20 to nothing, you know, 21 at going into halftime, I think the Pats, maybe they changed up their game plan, now try to do more passing. I don't understand how you can go from, I think physically,
okay,
they're on the same page with the Bills. That's what I think. So this is my point.
Okay.
Physically, they're on the same page with the Bills.
Yeah.
Because a month ago, they manhandled the Bills.
Yeah, but hold on. Thanks, Thomas. So here's the thing, though. So here's the thing. Oof. So I know.
Here's my point.
I know.
A minute and a half later, here's my point.
And keep going.
How about start with your point, and then we'll go with it.
What they did in that first game, I think, was it was great. But even in the second game, the Bills decided to all in on stopping the run. The Patriots still rushed for 149 yards, 27 carries. They still ran the ball well. And you could tell there was a lot of plays that they stuffed, that they stopped. All those little toss plays and the Keel Harry blocking down didn't work. So I would say that they just got better as the season went on. Like they were better at identifying it. They were better at taking the right angles. They were just overall better. They're the best defense in the NFL.
You know, that first game in Buffalo, we focused on the completely the wrong side of the football. Because we just sat there and said, the Pats ran right through them. They had one good run that broke the game open 8-0. 64-yard run. That's it. That's it. When you run the ball 44 times, you're supposed to get, you know, take that run out 44 times. You're supposed to probably get more than, you know, like a buck 60. You know what I mean? They didn't run it down their throats. We focused on the run versus the Bills' defense. Well, really, it was the other side of the ball. It was what the Bills' offense couldn't do. Because if the Bills' offense started to score some points, you ain't running it 3 times and punting. You're now going to have to throw the football. The only reason why that game happened was because the Bills couldn't do anything offensively. You know, and the Patriots, and the win had a lot to do with it. Sorry, it's just a reality. Like, if that wind wasn't gusting, that pass to Diggs at the corner of the end zone or right at the cone is a touchdown. You lose.
Yeah, I would
like
say
the wind had a ton to do with it, but it was more about their offense not getting going than it was you running right down their throats.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned that Tampa game. I will say that there's sometimes those losses, you know, if you go through a lot of frustrating games and you keep fighting, it shows that how resilient you are. I would say it's like, so Ben Volen was just talking about it. It's going to be really interesting how the Bills, you know, how that game goes against the Chiefs. Like, okay, you put all your eggs in one basket. Like, everything went right for you. Like, you're it's almost like you're playing with house money. Now you got to go on the road and beat a team that you already beat once. You already beat the Chiefs, but that was when the Chiefs weren't the Chiefs. Like, they had no clue what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, like, the Bills, real deal. Real deal, top to bottom.
They are. It's going to be an interesting game over the weekend. I want to get to the bye thing quick. We still got some more calls. I'll get all you right. guys. But, you know, it'll be one of the mysteries in the 2021 season. Like, what happened during that bye? If they didn't have a bye and they just kept playing football, do you think it would have happened?
Well, I mean, yes. Yes, I do.
You still think it would have happened?
Yes.
Okay, so something happened during that bye. And this was the mentality that they all had, right? This 2-4 start. Remember, after losing to Tampa Bay, a lot of guys in that locker room coming out saying, we're not a 2-4 team. We're better than the 2-4 team. We said, okay, well, let's see it. Let's prove it. And they went out 1-7 straight. Adrian Phillips, I believe after the Tennessee game, talked about what that 2-4 mentality was.
Basically, it's not listening to the outside noise. Just knowing where we came from and knowing where we're trying to go. We knew what we had at the beginning of the season. We just weren't winning. So now it's the same thing, just keeping our head down, and we'll see the chips fall where they may. But basically just focusing on the next game and doing our best to prepare and go out there and beat whoever we're playing, which is this week the Bills.
That week, the bye week, they lost a 2-4 mentality.
They sure did.
And they started with a 9-4 number one seed mentality.
You guys had it wrong mentality.
Yeah, they started listening to the outside noise.
You didn't believe in us mentality.
I'm just saying, they started listening to people saying at 9-4 number one seed, they might be the best team. They started listening to Ryan Clark saying they're going to the Super Bowl. They started listening to everybody and actually thought, in my opinion, it's what went wrong, that they were better than they actually were. And because of that, this team has such a fine line, they lost focus and started reverting back to who they were at the beginning of the season, making stupid mistakes.
I would say that usually, okay, I give them one get-out-of-jail-free, one mulligan. There's your mulligan. Now, you weren't ready. Listen, the Colts really needed this game. This was like a college atmosphere. They put everything they needed into this. You were kind of already kind of almost secured a playoff spot. They weren't. They needed it to be in. So they take it to you. You still almost come back and win. So fine. You waited too long to figure it out. Then the Bills come in, and then they hand it to you. They're coming off a loss. So they really need this win. Okay? And then they just beat you. But you're still in the game in the end. Then you play the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I would feel like all your mistakes should be behind you. The real game where you sit there and go, was the Miami game. Like, what the hell? Like, what the hell? They're not playing for anything. They're not in it whatsoever. You're playing against Tua again. Like, you have an opportunity to make up for the game you played the first time played him.
That might have been it. I was thinking earlier the Buffalo one, but I could see this team actually making more excuses for that, right? Like, you play against Indy, and like, yeah, we felt sorry for ourselves.
We didn't have a good
week of practice. But you know what? We're a great team.
We didn't believe Bill.
Yeah, we'll rebound.
Yeah.
And then you get smoked. You can't flip the switch
because
you're not that good.
You try.
You get smoked by Buffalo. Yeah. But you know what you do? You come out and you sound like Trent Brown. Well, listen, we embarrassed them 2 weeks ago, so they were extremely motivated.
They
were extra motivated, and that's probably why this happened. So then you
Trent, how are you?
Yeah, so then you smoke a team like Jacksonville, who's the worst team in the league, who was hit by COVID to make it even worse.
Injury, COVID,
and you go back to thinking you're something.
Yeah.
And then you roll down to Miami.
And you play a crappy.
And here comes the crap again.
I can't allow the whole we weren't mentally into it. I say that they're just if I was going to categorize this team when it was all, I said they're dumb. I would say they're dumb.
And they were just, mentally fragile. They're not exactly
mentally weak.
They were bullies. They beat up on awful football teams. And they went up against some better competition. They stressed out and made stupid, uncharacteristic mistakes because that's what happens when you go up against some good competition. Let's go back to the calls. Steve, I want to go first. I want to go to 9Gs, my guy.
9Gs?
Yeah, Jacoby Myers. Because he spoke with the media yesterday and talked about that bye week and how things might have changed.
I feel like our intensity going into the bye was great, and I don't feel like it dropped off, but that's the problem. It didn't build up either, you know what I mean? So I feel like we still tried to ride the wave as far as what we were doing when we got to that number one spot, and we needed to build on that, and we just didn't do it.
We started to ride the wave of us being a number one seed.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you got complacent.
Isn't that more of an admission? We started to ride the, what happened to the 2-4 mentality? And now, during the bye week, you started to ride the wave that brought us to the number one seed.
See, here's the thing. See, this is what bugs me. See, this is that is an excuse.
That's it, though.
It's an excuse. No, it's an excuse.
It's the reality.
We just were reading our own. We started riding the wave.
Yeah.
We thought we were better than we were. I just feel like that's too much of an excuse. I feel like it's I feel like it's a cop out. I do. Like, so you were just so full of yourself and so self-absorbed.
Can't sometimes that you excuses thought you pooped actually be a fact. Like,
how about they were just better than you?
That's what happened.
They're not going to say they were stupid and lazy.
No, but he's talking about after the bye. He's talking about we you know, again.
One game, Lou. I'll give you one game.
Listen, we lost the 2-4 mentality.
Game.
We started riding the wave. Like, when he says we didn't lose our intensity, we just didn't. No, you lost intensity. You admitted it. You started to ride the wave that got you the number one seed. You showed up in Indy, gets your boobs ripped off.
That's
then
one
you came
game.
Home against Buffalo, and they wanted the game more than you. You beat an awful football team that was ravaged with COVID. And then you got smoked again by a Miami team that beat you game one with no revenge factor. You came out and played the same way. And then you got embarrassed. Like, yeah, you started listening to your own press clippings or listening to people talk about you on a radio or on TV and read the newspapers. They rode the wave that got them to the number one seed.
All right, fine. I'll give you two weeks of riding the wave.
But then they're not good enough to recoup. It's like stuck in quicksand.
It was like, yeah, it was
like. You can't get out now.
It's like you would dug yourself in this hole that you couldn't get yourself out of.
I want to go to Roy, who's been on for a long time. Roy in Boston. Go ahead,
Roy. It better be worth it, man.
Go ahead, buddy.
No, I was actually calling from when Ben Golden was on. I think Lou was right. I think the Patriots overshot on Matthew Judon. I mean, the guy had 12.5 sacks. I think a lot of Patriots fans were assuming that that was a guy that already had, coming into the year, a 12.5 sack season, and Belichick was going to get him up to 15. But the guy only averaged 6.5 sacks a year. I think that's what he is. He just overruns plays, and maybe over the bye week, maybe over the week, Kevin Belichick got into it, and that's why the vibe was kicking off when he found out he wasn't going to be in the...
You know. What theories? I hear you, Roy. This is what you do, though. You come up with theories. Maybe Judon and Belichick got into a fight. Remember Bill came out with that black eye?
Weeks ago? Bill Belichick, look at the theory. Bill Belichick, the whole game, didn't show his hand. I wonder why he wasn't carrying the clipboard. Was he cold, or did he just have a broken hand from punching Judon?
Roy, I appreciate the call.
You just can't go around punching guys in the face.
I mean, I'm saying, this is what you get when you see something that you trying to figure out.
You're going to turn yourself into a human pretzel. To me, the answer is still real simple.
All right, let's see. Steve in Maine. Steve, what's up, man? You're on with Lou and Christian. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, this is my theory on this. Think about this one, right? Weeks two through four, they were a mess on defense. After the Dallas game, we all know, we could see it on the sideline. Belichick took over. All of a sudden, we get up to the bye, and I don't know about you, but it just looked like to me, after the bye, Belichick was back to games 2-4. I think he gave the defense back to Steven and Gerard Mayo. And the players didn't buy in.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm not going to knock the theory down.
So wait. The defense sucked. Bill took it over.
Yep.
It was great.
Okay, yep.
And then when it sucked again, Bill gave it to his son.
No. So when Bill fixed it, he says, okay, now drive it. Okay, just stay out of this. It doesn't pull anywhere. Just stay out of the gutters.
Yeah.
Right? Don't drink and drive.
It's on cruise control.
Yeah, just don't. I fixed it. Just don't mess it up.
Yeah, and Steve's over there with his tongue going back and forth outside of his mouth.
And the players were like,
I got you, Dad.
You know, and the players were in the back seat. They're going, man, I don't trust these guys. I don't trust them. They already jacked it up once.
Listen, I'm telling you. You can laugh at some of these theories. I think they get worse. Like, I think that just like the Malcolm Butler situation, I think it gets worse because you're trying to figure out what the hell happened. All right, listen, we got last call coming up. We got a few more calls online we'll hit as well. Last call, it's next. Oh, we got time for a couple more calls.
Yeah, let's do it.
Before last call.
Last call.
Yeah, let's go to Jeff in New Hampshire. More theories. Go ahead, Jeff. Jeff, are you there?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, Jeff?
Yeah. I've got some bad reception. I'm driving, so I'm going to pull over here.
All right, good. Let's go. Come on. We're almost at the end of the show, man.
We appreciate that, Jeff.
Thank you. Right, man. I just want to say I don't think Bill is emotionally invested in this team this year. He looks like kind of complacent on the sideline. He just doesn't have any fire in his eyes. I don't know what's going on there, but I think the real issue is the Patriots just playing stink this year, and I'm not saying Bill's a bum now, but...
I feel like that's what you're saying, though. Like, he's to say that Bill's like you, so you feel like he's not, like, into coaching? Like, he's kind of like, eh.
Yeah, not that he's always been, like, you know, a fireball of emotions, but he's just kind of like... I don't know. I just don't see any kind of emotion coming out of him at all.
Okay. I don't see any.
You know what, Jeff? I appreciate the call. I can't.
He can win five Super Bowls. The only time he's going to show excitement is after the Super Bowl and at the ring ceremony.
I think Bill expressed how much fun he had with this group. I think on numerous occasions.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I can't.
The
I
fact
can't
is that there. He has to keep defending the fact that he likes coaching is actually kind of funny
yeah, I know.
In itself.
Let's go to Rocco in the Cape. Rocco, what's
Rocco.
Up? Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey.
So I got a theory.
Okay.
I think the mind knew what they had to do, but they just not physically couldn't get it done.
I like this.
It was physical. They just couldn't get it done. You got two or three old dogs, and then you got some young guys that just aren't picking it up right. It's just, I think the mind was there. The mind told them to do it, but physically it wasn't getting done.
See, I agree with you, Rocco, because I feel like for guys who are like a very prideful, you know, like they don't want to admit that they got walked over. They don't want to admit that, like, they couldn't tackle Josh Allen or they couldn't cover Dawson Knox. Like, I feel like it's easier for them to admit, you know what, mentally, I just don't know, man. We couldn't fire it up, you know? Couldn't get that gas going, right?
I think inadvertently they just actually sound worse, you know, to, like, a fan. Yeah. Like, if someone, you hear your team mentally wasn't ready to play a playoff game.
Yeah.
I mean.
I'm not buying it.
How many times you hear, oh, if you're not up for this game, you don't have a pulse.
Yeah. And I can't
you
even.
You don't have a pulse.
It doesn't exist. You're getting extra money. You're getting extra cash. You're the only game in town. Everybody's watching you. The ratings are going to be through the roof. You don't want to look like a bunch of chumps.
Which is what they
why
did.
Why would you want to be? It's like playing on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's not it.
Let's go to another one here. Let's go to Chris in Rhode Island. Chris, what's up, man? You're with Lou and Christian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
A couple comments and then a question for you guys as professional athletes.
All right.
I think they were just outmatched physically, like you guys were saying. I mean, especially in the secondary. To me, they just hit critical mass. You know, they just didn't have people that could cover guys.
Yes.
And so they ended up having to play a really conservative, you know, vanilla zone defense. And so they couldn't do blitz packages because they had to be conservative with that. And so they just didn't have the guys to cover it. Just a skill.
Yeah, Chris, again, yeah. So the last guy was, Rocco was physical, Chris is skill. It's the same thing. Like, why can't it be as simple as that?
Because
you're telling me the Patriots probably had the best game plan possible for the personnel that they had. I think he's right. Listen, you can't run all the crazy stuff that you want.
You watched this game again, right?
I couldn't even get
And I haven't seen
quarter.
Anybody talk about it, but this team, I think it was once they lost Jonathan Jones and they went into San Diego or the Chargers, L.A., whatever, and they beat the Chargers. Remember Keenan Allen afterwards said, yeah, they didn't want to cover us man-to-man. It's what they're almost like calling them out.
Yeah.
You know, they just wanted to play the zone. Cowards, you want to cover me man? Well, they beat you. Okay, this is football. It's what you do. And at that point, the rest of the season, for the most part, I believe the numbers were like 70% zone. Like they flip-flopped. They started playing zone. No Jonathan Jones were playing zone. Did you feel like they were playing more man-to-man in this game for some reason, even though they were outmanned and lost bodies? I felt like it was one-on-one guys getting beat.
Or just playing poor zone. That could be it, too.
Yeah, I guess. Like J.C. Jackson, like, you know, the touchdown down the left or the right side, and then Juwan Williams on the left side.
Dawson Knox was playing. Dawson Knox was playing man.
I just felt like it was all of a sudden it was like, yeah. Hey, we've lost some corners or, you know, whatever. Let's now play man. And it's like, what? I don't know, the whole thing. Again, we're going to sit here for years and try to figure out, you know, what the hell happened with this
team. Like, add this to the Malcolm Butler, add this to Deflategate. Just put them all in a bucket.
Yeah.
Pick from
one. Well, it's sort of like, and we mentioned it before, like, you know, when Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown come out and say, like, why is everybody talking about trading us? It's because we're trying to figure out what's going wrong. Like, what is going on? Like, you have two young players and you guys can't win. You've been sitting around 500 for the last 2 years. And when that starts happening, we start coming up with our own ideas. We got one guy talking about Belichick punching out Judon. And that's why, you know, he didn't have his hand in his pocket the whole time. I mean, you come up with wacky stuff, just like you did, I think, like, you know, before, like you said, with Malcolm Butler. All right, what do we got? We got Last Call. Last Call brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car, you can donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com. Or you can give them a call at 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. So, was last night the final Manning cast?
I imagine it
right,
is.
Right, it's last Monday. They're going to do this for a special other night or anything?
I hope not.
So in the Manning cast, we got a little slip up. I don't know if you heard this or not, but Eli trying to talk about a touchdown, tried to throw it to Peyton. Peyton had some technical issues.
Before you do that, Larry, let's go to Peyton. He's going to break down that touchdown. I can't hear shit. Never mind. Peyton's doing something else.
Never mind. I can't hear bleep.
So it's ESPN Plus, right?
No, ESPN 2.
Oh, that was ESPN 2? Was it always ESPN 2?
Yes. Always ESPN 2.
Oh, okay. Because like ESPN Plus, I mean, I figure you can just like HBO, do whatever you want.
No, you can't.
Did you dive into it?
Never mind.
Just made me curious, you know, the other broadcast. Did you happen to dive into the Nickelodeon?
No.
Game? I believe it was the Niners and the Cowboys.
Cowboys. I did not, no.
I did see the interview after the game with Deebo Samuel. That was fantastic.
He slimed?
The little kid. No, the little kid just interviewed me. He's fantastic. Okay. Little, like,
somebody got
13-year-old kid. It was fantastic. It was really good. What else do we got here? So, I inadvertently, you know, and I'm surprised I haven't done this before, you know, because, of course, Ben Volen joins us every single Tuesday. So, when he left, I told him that we would see him next Tuesday. You know, I'd see you next Tuesday.
Yeah,
okay, whatever.
I get
it. Okay, so a lot of people kind of jumped in on that one. Do you remember this old cut back in 2019? Old friend Mark James. He was doing WEEI nights. Mark James, our guy, right? So apparently a caller called in, and they had this going back and forth. Mark James has never heard of that phrase before.
Bill in Plymouth. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. So I was listening to your nicknames, and I've got a nickname for you. You ready?
Yeah.
See you next Tuesday, James. Do you like that?
What does that mean, though?
Mark with a C. See you next Tuesday, James. You like that?
No.
See you next Tuesday. Do the acronym. And that's what you are.
Oh, I got. Oh.
Yeah.
Bill. Oh, boy. Bill, I tell you.
Here we go.
You know what's amazing? How pathetic your life is that you listen to my show. You call into my show. I'm living rent-free in your head, and you want to call me a C-word. Bill, I tell you, you should not be procreating. You're such a loser.
I know. Yeah,
you're such
a
loser. Bill the bitch. Oh, he was trying to use a play on where see you next Tuesday. I mean, like, guys, it's like, Bill, oh, God, you're a loser.
Listen, I don't know. I love Mark James.
He went to 100, didn't he?
Nobody goes.
James Ante.
Let me tell you something, Bill.
Once it finally hit, he's like, oh. It was like a rocket ship.
Do the acronym. And that's what you are.
Oh, I got. Oh.
Yeah.
Bill. Oh, boy. Bill, I tell you, you know what's amazing? How pathetic your life is that...
I love it.
He went nuts.
He goes crazy.
Shocked that Mark knew what an acronym
was. It took him a while.
But the guy had to describe it, to tell him about
see
it. Like, he's never heard that before.
Tuesday.
Mark's never heard it
that
before.
That is a shorter cut. That whole back and forth where he had to explain is so much longer. We don't have time to play it all.
It's the best.
That is great. What do we got? We got Mutt in the house. Is Andy Hart with him or no? Is he Mutt solo?
I haven't seen Andy, but Mutt is here.
Mutt is in the house.
So listen to Mutt.
Taken care of for the next 4 hours. Tomorrow, we got a lot going on tomorrow.
Very busy Wednesday, hump day.
Brian Scalabrine will join us 3:30, I believe. As of right now, Rodney Harrison will be joining us at 4:30.
Pencil it in.
And then at some point, I don't know, within that area, one David Ortiz, who looks like, if you start looking at some of these ballots, there's a very good chance of getting in his first ballot Hall of Famer.
I want to ask if I can win his money.
First question.
Him and Terry Bradshaw.
I want you to chime in. That ask him if that was actually your money.
I think he would love that.
Yeah, I want you to chime in and ask him that tomorrow. So that should be interesting. David Ortiz, he'll join us tomorrow as well. So we got a packed house. So
All right,
that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back at it again tomorrow.
Big game tonight. Let's go, Bishop Theum. Let's go.
At 2 o'clock. I thought you could say Bruins, Hurricanes. But
no, let's go. All right. Let's go, Shamrocks.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow at 2. Have a great night, everybody.
WEEI in Boston.
Boston's sports station.
This is WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.